Senator John McCain of the Senate Armed Services Committee says the Pentagon doesn't have a sequestration problem. It has a spending problem. Bill Hartung is director of the Arms and Security Project at the Center for International Policy, author of the report Promising the Sky, Pork Barrel Politics and the F-35, and my first guest on Pentagon Solutions Today. He says the F-35 program is the perfect starting point for defense acquisition reform. Bill, thanks for being on the program today. You're the first person that I've seen that has joined the concepts of the F-35 program, either scaling it back or shutting it down, directly to the overall case for acquisition reform at the Pentagon. How did you come to that conclusion, and what is the connection? Thanks for being on the program today.
Yes, thanks for having me. Well, when I was watching Ashton Carter's confirmation hearings, both he and John McCain focused on issues of cost overruns, accountability, excess overhead, as things that we're going to have to get fixed, regardless of what happened with the top line of the Pentagon budget. And so it made me think about the F-35 primarily because of the what I view as kind of a rush to production. There's still a lot of technical problems with the aircraft that I think should be worked out before they start ramping up the numbers, because you reach a sort of point of no return where if you decide the aircraft isn't doing what you want it to do, you're sort of stuck with it.
The and we're getting to that point, many observers say, with the F-35, where you have so many copies already in existence that when you find things that you need to fix, now you have to go back and fix it on every aircraft that's been produced so far. And I continue to read reports that the allies of ours who are also buying this aircraft are going to start taking delivery within the next. I think the first delivery to a non-U.S. customer is supposed to be within the next year or 18 months. And so some of those problems may start to crop up on aircraft that wind up outside the United States. You write in this piece in Defense One that we have linked at federalnewsradio.com that if the program, the F-35 program, continues on its current course, taxpayers in the military may end up getting an inferior aircraft for this huge investment. What can we take away from what we've seen about the F-35 to inform the next weapon system that comes along, whether it's an aircraft or something else?
Well, I think one of the problems with the F-35 is the idea of trying to have it do too many things at once. Do close air support, land on carriers, be a fighter, be a bomber. And the idea was that it was going to all be versions of this one plane. And there, I think a lot of the problems they're running into are because they're asking one system to do too much. I think going forward, it would be better to have smaller production run of an item that's designed specifically for a couple important tasks instead of trying to make it do everything. There's been problems in the past with things like the F-111 where they tried to do that with. I think some of the problems with the littoral combat ship have to do with trying to make it a multi-mission ship. So I just think that's a risky way to go in acquisition, even though it's tempting because you get a longer production run. And they were supposed to get some commonality of parts, although that's much less than they had hoped for.
Do we have a sense of, at this point in the life of this aircraft, how much of an issue concurrency has been, the idea that they're going to continue to look at requirements and look at capabilities throughout the development process, manufacturing some while you're still working out what the final platform will look like?
Well, they've been having a lot of problems with the software, which then affects almost everything else, whether can it land a bomb accurately, can it communicate with another aircraft, can it track enemy radar, does it know who's a friend and who's a foe, will it get false positives and hit targets that are not intended. So I think without the software dealt with, you kind of don't know what you're getting in a way. And the Marines are trying to get one that's at least partially combat ready commissioned this year, and I think that would be a mistake given all the problems that still exist.
Bill Hartung is director of the Arms and Security Project at the Center for International Policy. His new report's titled Promising the Sky, Pork Barrel Politics and the F-35, and he's written in Defense One under the title Reform Pentagon Acquisition by Slowing Down the F-35. One of the points that you make there is something we've touched on briefly, and I want to explore a little more. Anything that's been learned in the F-35 program, you write, Bill, can be applied to the development of a more affordable and effective replacement aircraft. And then you note that some folks at the Pentagon are already talking about the sixth generation aircraft. What do you think that says about maybe an underlying message about how people at the Pentagon feel about the F-35, what they're thinking about what they've seen so far, if they're already ready for the next round, and they're already saying we want something simpler?
I think there's some understanding that perhaps this was not the right way to go, but people don't want to, you know, broadcast it publicly because I think a lot of there'd be a lot of embarrassment and a lot of bureaucratic infighting that would result. But I think that the fact that they're already starting on the next generation is indicative of that there are some people inside the Pentagon and that understand that they've got a problem on their hands.
It would not be the first time either that the Defense Department has stopped or slowed a pretty high-level acquisition.
No. I mean, if you look at the F-22, they were going to build 750 and they built 187. You know, the B-2, they were going to build 100 and they built 21. Now, a lot of that was cost overruns and, you know, requirements creep where they kept adding requirements after they had already sort of bought into the program. But it'd be nice if it didn't happen the way it happened in those two, where it was they didn't exactly decide to build fewer. They just ran out of money. And I think in this case, if they sort of planned a smaller buy and then thought about when is the sixth generation coming online, can we upgrade existing aircraft to fill the gap, what are we really going to do with unmanned vehicles, are they eventually going to complement the fighter force, and if so, how many fighters would you need for that? So I just think it would open up the possibility, if you slow down the F-35, of doing some forward-looking thinking about where we want to be in 10 or 20 years.
And you note in your piece in Defense One that that's one of the possibilities that exists. If aircraft currently in the inventory are truly too old to fly, upgraded versions of existing aircraft can be produced to fill any gaps that occur. That may be a little more difficult than it sounds, but only a little more. Do the F-15, 16, and 18, do the production lines exist in such a way that they can continue to crank out planes for the next 5 to 10, maybe even 15 years, even if they're with upgraded capabilities?
Well, the F-16 has been living off of foreign sales, so I think they're in decent shape there. The F-18 was running down, and they put a version of it in the defense bill last year to keep that line going. So that's got a year or two before it might have to shut down. So I think at the moment that those lines exist. I mean, obviously, if you're going to ramp up, you got to get skilled people and you got to get them to live in the places where you're doing the production. But I think that could be dealt with.
But that sounds like that's a far less daunting challenge than if the lines are completely closed. I mean, if we were going to try to revive a plane that had been out of production for a couple of years, that you could see an argument that it wouldn't make sense to try to do that, or would, because of how prohibitively expensive it could become.
Yeah, I think there's an opening for a few years now where if they wanted to go that route and fill in any gap with upgraded version of existing aircraft, but, you know, newly produced, because a lot of the argument is, well, the airframes are this old and so forth, you wouldn't have to use those ancient planes. You have another option.